to the Dungeon Plunger Podcast. My name is Jason Weeb, and this is the show in which a real-life janitor and dungeon master teaches you how to plunge in and run a better Dungeons & Dragons game. Without further ado, let's plunge into this week's episode with Play Like You Don't Have a Pair. Hey everybody, I hope you're doing well, and welcome to the show. I just wanted to say that I am super happy with how things have gone. That first episode went really well, and I got a lot of excellent feedback. And so, not only that, I got call-ins. Can you believe it? First show, I got call-ins. So, without further ado, let's hit it, man. Let's hit that mailbox.
Weeb, it's Jay from Roleplay Rescue, and welcome to the Podosphere. Thank you for plunging in with the Dungeon Plunger podcast. I'm just brilliant, absolutely ace. First episode, really loved it. I'm just coming in from work. I'm sitting in a car. I've just got here. And yeah, I loved it. Thank you so much for the backstory. Thank you so much for kind of the advice actually about diving in. And even as a gamer of 40 plus years, I needed to hear that. It was cool. So thank you very, very much for the start. I hope you're going to do more. All cool. I just, more than anything, wanted to say thank you for making a start. And the second thing I want to say thank you for is credit, you know, and like you've said some very, very poignant and positive things about what I've been doing. So thank you. I really appreciate it. And I just hope you're well. Keep going, man. And game on, brother.
So yeah, the one, the only, the legendary Che Webster. The man who got me into this game. Che, I really appreciate that you called in. It means a lot to me. And I just wanted to thank you again for setting me out on this path. Next call, a lovely lady goes by the name of Miss Lemon. And let's hear what she has to say.
Hello, Mr. Plunger. Do you have any tips on keeping both new and experienced players engaged when it comes to storytelling? And second question, what would you tell a new player to help them get into roleplay?
All right, well, thank you very much, Miss Lemon. How would I keep players engaged? Well, what I think is important is that as a game master, there isn't a lot I don't think you can do to keep your players engaged. I mean, ultimately, I feel like it's the responsibility of the players to be present and, you know, part of the game. However, I do think that pacing is one of those issues where a game master can help in that department. I think that, you know, while there is something to be said about taking it slow and going along, I personally find that if things aren't at least moving forward on some level, that I get bored and then I get sort of like checked out. And that's when I want to like, you know, look at my phone or, you know, talk with somebody else or whatever. So I think, yeah. But as in terms of how to role play your character, and I reached out to Miss Lemon just to clarify the question. I think there's five things that you can do to like really get into your character. So I think the first thing is that assuming that you're creating a character, you need to make a character that fits in the GM's world, has a little bit of flair. So, you know, a little bit of style, minimal backstory. I don't think that you want to have a huge backstory. I think, you know, the backstory is something that's going to happen as you play the game. Yeah, character development is something that happens during the game, not before. And, you know, you don't want to have that lone wolf character. I think number two, you want to embody that character. You want to think about what motivates my character. What kind of goals does my character have? And, you know, don't be that guy that does stuff just because that's what my character would do. Number three, be proactive. You know, talk to NPCs, seek out information, ask questions, you know, of the game master and probe deeper into things. Number four, I would say pay attention. You know, put down that phone and engage with your fellow players. You know, if you're distracted, then you are not paying attention to what the GM is saying, and you're not paying attention to what your fellow players are saying. And obviously, you're not going to be as deeply engaged into the game. And lastly, I would say don't worry about what's on your character sheet. Obviously, we need to look at our character sheet to get the rules. In some cases, there might be things on there that could prompt you, but in general, your character sheet does not have the answers that you're looking for. And I think the most important thing is to relax, take a breath, and just go with your gut. In general, you know what your character is going to do and how you should do it. Thank you very much for the call, Miss Lemon. I appreciate it. And if I hope that answers your question. And if not, call in again and we will try to expand on that. Next up, we got Free Thrall from the podcast Keep Off the Borderlands. You know, thanks, dude, for calling in. And let's hear it.
Bonjour, Jason. Just what we need, another Jason. I'm joking, of course. Spencer here. I just wanted to welcome you to the world of podcasting. I really enjoyed your first episode. Like you, Roleplay Rescue was instrumental in getting me on the mic. I also appreciate having a janitor up in here. I've a lot of respect for the janitors of the world. It's a noble profession, doing everybody's dirty work diligently behind the scenes, keeping things running smoothly, folks only wanting to talk to you when something's going wrong, and then you're banished to the back rooms. So glad to hear you're taking the plunge into podcasting, and I have to say, you're sounding really good. I'm kind of in the opposite position to you in that I feel like I've got this podcasting thing down, but I'm only just venturing into the world of game mastery. I finally took the plunge into running things at the end of last year, and you know what? It was absolutely fine. I just need to keep climbing that mountain. As I say, I really enjoyed your first episode, and I'm looking forward to hearing more, especially if you're doing a bit of solo a la the legendary Matt Jackson. Great stuff. Take care.
Spencer, my dude, thank you very much for the call. Honestly, I'm going to admit something right now. The first time that I heard of your show, I was super jealous. I'm like, dude, you took the best name for making a podcast. Keep Off the Borderlands? Come on, man. Like, how is anybody else supposed to keep up with that? You know, I tried 101 billion names that I thought would be cool. And it's because guys like you who are way more clever than me who came up with this stuff. Well, first of all, thank you for welcoming me into the community. I'm super happy to be here. And you know what? We got to start somewhere. And, you know, part of me was worried that by doing a show like this that's, you know, heavily focused on game masters, that a lot of the old guard podcasters might find it a little less than useful, you know? So hopefully I have some stuff here that might help you in the future. You'll have to let me know. Yeah, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it. And last but not least, this is how you know that you've made it into the podcasting world. I got a call from none other than the Nerds RPG Variety Show, Jason Connerly. The one and only. This dude is the most prolific phone caller that I've ever met. So if he calls you, you know that you've made it. So thank you very much, Jason. Let's hit it. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, Dungeon Plunger. This is Jason from the Nerds RPG Variety Cast. Great to hear your first episode plunging in. Sorry I'm calling late. Been busy. I could have used your help with the old homestead. Had some plumbing problems of my own. But that said, great episode. I wish you all the luck, and you're right. All you have to do is just get out there and do it. A lot of us started just doing guerrilla podcasting, just recording on our phones and publishing from our phones. Now that's gotten harder over the years due to, you know, Spotify. But you don't need a lot of special equipment. And ultimately, people are tuning in to hear you and your thoughts, not to hear a symphony orchestra play something. because if they want to hear that, they'll tune in to something else. I look forward to your future shows, and I hope your YouTube aspirations pan out. Matt Jackson is indeed, as is Che Webster and Carl, a guiding light to us all. So take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
So there you go. That's all the calls that we have this week. I once again want to thank everybody for calling in. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Che from Roleplay Rescue. Thank you very much to Miss Lemon. Thank you very much to Spencer from Free For All, Keep Off the Borderlands podcast. And lastly, thanks to Jason Connerly of the Nerds RPG Variety Show. I am overwhelmed with the fact that you guys would take the time out of your day to call my, you know, little podcast here. I can't thank you all enough. So thank you very much again. I hope other people will call in. You can do that on my SpeakPipe link, which is in the show notes below. And with that, we'll conclude this part of the podcast and we'll move on to that main sweet course where we talk about how to play like you don't got a pair. All right, Plungerites, let's get to the main topic. I wanted to talk about running a game for complete newbies. I'm going to start this with a little bit of a story time. So the year was 1993. A prepubescent teenage dungeon plunger was in the back of a van with the hottest chick that I knew that would actually talk to my dumbass. Catch, my friend's dad was driving said van, and none other than maybe like one chick, it was like a total sausage fest. And then this total babe said the thing that would change my life forever. And no, it was not, "Hey DP, draw me like one of your French girls," or, "Hey, I'm just gonna slip on a little something more comfortable." No, no, it was something so much more important. And what she actually said was something along the lines of, "Hey guys, a bunch of the people at the university are playing this cool new game, and we should play." And that game was called Magic the Gathering. As a kid living in a rural area on the prairies in the middle of Canada, probably easier to get access to drugs and alcohol or even become an actual Satan worshiper than it was for me to find someone to teach me how to play a game of pretend with dice and little lead men. But when I was introduced to Magic the Gathering, my fertile mind was ripe. I remember pretending to be a planeswalking wizard, master of the multiverse, casting magic lightning bolts and summoning mythical creatures to beat the living tar out of a rival wizard. It was the closest I would get to role-playing until one day my dad brought home a box full of old beat-up games, including Hero Quest. But you know what? That's a story for a different time. Fast forward to about 3 years into the future. My family makes the trek halfway across the country to Montreal. In Montreal, I enroll in college with two goals in mind. Number one, find a girlfriend. And number two, find a group to play Magic with. As it would turn out, oddly enough, I found both in the same place. There was this little gaming club at my college called The Guild. And that girl would later become my wife, and the rest is history. The Guild was where my desire to finally learn how to play D&D would finally be realized. But if it hadn't been for a hardcore addiction to the cardboard crack, it might never have happened. Let's fast forward again to circa 2014. Get back into Magic. Friday Night Magic becomes a religious institution in my life. Then a few weeks ago, at my local game store, and drunk on the cardboard protected with plastic card condoms, Magic and D&D are once again about to intersect in my life once more, in a way that I could never have anticipated. Okay, maybe that's a little overdramatic, but that's kind of how it felt. So one of my friends who plays with us there, she's like, "Hey DP, me and some of my girlfriends are looking for someone to teach us how to play D&D. Would you be interested?" And I was like, "Interested? Hells to the yes, I'm interested!" A week later, I've got five players. Noobs. Total noobtastics. Brand new players all sitting around my table. Four of them are the ladies. Sausage Fest has ended. Finally, I have a chance to see what it's like to play with women. Not because I'm some kind of a sexual deviant, but because for so long, my only experience playing D&D has more or less been with dude bros. What have I been missing? How will it be different? Will it be different at all? I'm not going to lie. I was nervous, and I didn't want to screw up this experience for a bunch of new players, but in the end, I had little to worry about. For one, two of the players had been watching an actual play D&D show on YouTube, so they already had an idea of what to expect. And second, and this is the thing that kills me, they all had their own complete sets of dice. Like, back in the day, that never would have happened. So for my part, I decided that I was going to run the game with Shadow Dark, and I made characters for everybody. I printed out spells from the Shadow Dark rulebook PDF, just for the casters. There was a wizard, there was a priest, and I appropriately sleeved them in a magic card to give them some substance, so it wasn't just a flimsy piece of paper flopping around on the table. And then I ran Winter's Daughter by Gavin Norman. And while I probably could have run it straight from the book, I did find a conversion document by a dude named Future Wolf, which was very helpful. After a very brief discussion of the core mechanic of a, you know, basically roll your d20, add a modifier, rolling high is good, we played. And you know what? It was awesome. I believe everyone had a great time. When somebody tells you they're going to come back in 2 weeks so that they can finish off the module, I feel like, yeah, mission accomplished. They were great players. They were attentive, they were engaged, and they asked a lot of questions and were adept at figuring out what was going on. They searched for clues and ways to overcome problems that wasn't a thing of like, hey, what's on my character sheet? Genuinely tried to play like their characters would play. So I don't want to steal any credit from the group, because they definitely deserve it. However, I wanted to point out, as a game master, a tip. And I think this is crucial in becoming a great GM. And that is to be free-flowing with the information. In my opinion, it's better to err on the side of telling the players too much than not telling them enough. In addition, I think another part of what made this such a great success was Gavin Norman's writing in The Winter's Daughter. What I really love about this book is that his point form notes are neither too sparse nor overly verbose. They include great pieces of information, like the atmospherics in a room, or details that would touch many of the senses beyond just what the character would see. In fact, one of the best things that one of the players said was, "When you describe a scene, I feel as if I actually see it." I took that as a great sign and a compliment from that player. A really funny moment from the evening was when one of the players accidentally said something about making a snackerfice, and I wish I could remember exactly how that came about, but I can assure you that no snacks were sacrificed to the RPG gods that night. Well, maybe there were. What happens at the gaming table stays at the gaming table. I don't really know what I was expecting. To be honest, I found that playing with women, it's just like playing with anybody else. Here's some game mastering advice if you want to run for noobs. Number one, keep it simple. Unless your crew is down for it, you might want to avoid Pathfinder, at least to start. I would suggest finding yourself a rules light system that you can just get on it and make it happen. Number two, I would make pre-gens. If you can get a little bit of insight from the players about what kind of a character they'd like to play in advance, that's even better. But I think cutting out that part of the game makes that first time so much better. There's a lot less for the players to have to absorb. Also, they can just focus on learning to play the game to begin with and enjoying themselves and not feel overwhelmed by so much mechanics of the game. Third of all, do not try to teach them all the rules at once. Start with the core mechanic, whatever that might be for the game that you're playing, and you can work up to the more complicated stuff later. All right? And number four, as I said it previously, err on the side of telling the players too much rather than not enough. If the players have information that they can act on, they're not going to get stuck and the game isn't going to become frustrating and players are going to, you know, move forward and have a good time. Number five, take a deep breath, let the dice fall where they may, and play like you don't have a pair. And number six, most importantly of all, Magic the Gathering is an addictive game. If you like your money, don't start playing. Otherwise, you may find yourself in a back alley pulling cheap tricks so that you can open a few more booster packs. Well, folks, that's it for this episode. Once again, I want to thank all my callers, Che, Free Thrall Spencer, Miss Lemon, and of course, Jason Connerly. You can leave a message on my SpeakPipe. Remember, when nature calls in the dungeon, watch out for those sneaky toilet mimics. Peace out!